We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Rakumski coming to you from my attic, of all places, in New Athens, Illinois. And I have with me...
The recording attic, where John is at. Right. So I am not in the attic. I am in my office, in my study at Ascension Lutheran Church in a picturesque springtime South St. Louis, where I serve as pastor.
Yeah, not a lot of picturesque up here in the attic, although I can see all my old stuff, stuff I've accumulated over 72 years. That's where it gets thrown up, in the attic with me. Sometimes my wife allows me to come downstairs and eat. But and every day she takes me out for a walk. So,
well, I'm glad you're enjoying retirement, John.
Yeah, I am. That's right. Grow up in the attic with all your old junk. So we are on the cusp. We're on the cusp of Holy Week. And if I could, Matt, because I know you have some really important stuff to share with us about the key event in Holy Week, which is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But if I could just wrap up just a little bit about Caiaphas, who we talked about last week.
Sure, the Caiaphas bonus material this week. So yeah, please do.
Well, and it is bonus material. You don't find this in the scripture, but we know how his whole life comes to an end, and it's quite a fascinating story. Apparently, either at the beginning of Caiaphas's term as high priest, or maybe right before he was appointed high priest by the Romans, Herod was the one in charge at that point, and Herod came up with a really neat practice. He took the high priest's robes and he locked them up and put them under guard. And the thing is, you can't go down to Macy's and get high priest robes. You know, the tunic is ornate with jewels, the Urim and the Thummim from which God communicated to the people. Did you know that the headdress had a solid gold band around it? Wouldn't you love to have a solid gold band?
Oh, boy, yeah. That's not at Walmart, John.
No. So this was the way the Romans controlled them. If you want to do your Day of Atonement, if you want your high priest to go into the Holy of Holies, you got to come to us. Now, we'll give it to you. I'm not saying then you give it back to us. We have control over the high priest's robes. So the story is that there was a Roman ruler by Vitellius. Vitellius was his name. So he was given control over this area of Jerusalem. And the first thing Vitellius does is he gives the robes back. So he takes them out of the lockup and he gives them back to the priests. Say, here they are. You use them as you please. And at the same time, he is the one that deposed Caiaphas. And Josephus says he did this in order to please the people.
Oh, interesting.
So I just thought everyone should know this is how Caiaphas's life ended. He spent his life as the one who was prominent, wealthy, powerful, and yet in the end of his life, nobody liked him. The Romans didn't like him. Obviously, his fellow Jews didn't like him. I'm sure the priest didn't like him because, you know, he really was kind of a pretender. Annas was the one they really would have thought should be high priest. So I thought, what? And maybe some of our listeners have felt like that nobody likes me. But it was literally true for Caiaphas. And yet, see, I was thinking as Christians, we know there was at least one person who did like. In fact, that's probably too weak a word, isn't it? There was someone who really loved Caiaphas. In fact, loved him enough to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Loved him enough to die for him, even though he was the cause of his death. And that, of course, is Jesus. Now, the sad thing is, we don't know whether Caiaphas believes that or not. Yeah. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven. But I just wanted all of our listeners to know that we know that. We know that's how Jesus loves us. And if you're not sure of that, people, please just go to church this next Sunday and the Sunday after that and take the Lord's Supper and hear Jesus say for himself, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. I hope everyone who hears this understands you don't go to church to show people what a good guy you are. You go to church so that Jesus can remind you for all of the weakness and struggles we have, for all the problems that we deal with. No, there is one who will always love us. In fact, loved us enough to die for us. And as we'll talk about in a couple weeks, also loved us enough to rise from the dead. So anyway, I just wanted to give that. I thought that was an interesting story about how Caiaphas's life ended.
And you know, and Josephus is the one that records that. Josephus, you know, a Jewish historian.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like he was trying. It's not like he was a Christian trying to, you know, paint Caiaphas as being a bad guy. No, this is he's just reporting what the Jews felt, it seems. And so, you know, likely Caiaphas was, you know, just disliked by the people too.
So, thanks, John. One final thing before we move on, I did want to let everyone know, because I've got all kinds of prayers and comments from people that were concerned about my prostate cancer. The test finally came back. It has not spread. It's confined to the prostate, which anyone who knows anything about cancer, that's super. That's great. It's easy to treat. Well, not easy exactly, but it's easily treatable, and it's not fatal. So no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is my apology to you, Matt. You'll probably have to put up with me for another 15 years at least.
It would not please the people if you were gone, John. You are not Caiaphas. We actually like you. So we are very, very thankful for that good news, and thankful for that answer to prayer, certainly, too. Yeah. Thanks, John, for sharing.
So, Matt, what do you want to talk about? Because we're just about getting ready for Holy Week. What do you want to deal with?
Yeah, thanks, John. So what I want to deal with is, well, we'll see. I'm going to save the main topic for a second, okay?
Keep us in suspense.
But yes, so on this eve of Holy Week, I guess you could say, we want to look at Luke chapter 13. And it's a text that, I don't know if I've ever preached on it, John.
Really?
But but
what have you been doing for the last 10 years when this would come up? It comes up every 3 years.
Preaching on other stuff. But you'll see why, I think.
Okay.
Because on the surface, I think it's one of those accounts in Scripture where it leaves us scratching our heads. Basically, what
is that? What happened to your hair? Stretch all the hair out. I was wondering about that. Okay.
No. As Jesus is there, people come to him with news headlines.
Okay.
All right. Current events. So that's the head scratcher, John. Why are they talking about current events here? And why is Jesus, what is he going to do with it? So I thought, you know, for us to consider when we read the headlines, whether it's online or our print newspaper or whatever the case might be, however we get our news today, what do we think about that? What's our initial thoughts, our feelings when we read the headlines? So I've got my St. Louis Post-Dispatch here, John. From this past weekend. I'm going to read just a couple headlines. Ex-Representative Cori Bush's husband faces fraud charges. You know, what do we feel about that when we read a headline like that? And then the inside, we got Texas measles outbreak expected to last months. That's not good. So, yeah. Here's London's Heathrow Airport closed due to electrical fire. About 200,000 passengers stranded. So, whoa, that's a lot of people stranded.
That is. You can't really imagine in a foreign country. Yeah.
So there's some headlines. You know, as we read those headlines, you know, about things in our world and in our nation, in our city, here in St. Louis and other places, you know, again, what do we think or how do we feel? And I think, you know, a lot of times it's anger, right?
Yeah.
How could they be doing this? Blame? Well, that's all their fault. Frustration, desire for justice to be served. Maybe it's prayers for those who are hurting, prayers for those who are affected in different ways. You know, I think these are all common concerns that people have. But when we read those headlines, do any of us have feelings of repentance in reading those headlines?
It's the other guy, isn't it? It's the other guy.
Yeah. Now you're starting to sound a lot like the people around Jesus, John, in our text today. It's about
the other guy. Yeah.
So let's read about that. So here's Luke chapter 13. They bring a headline to Jesus and listen for what their assumption is about the headline and the people that it deals with. So, John, if you could read verses 1 through Well, let's just do one and two. One and two.
Okay. There were some present at that very time who told him, that's Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?
Okay. All right. So let's stop there. So we don't know who these people are exactly. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
They're probably...
It is, yeah. Because usually it says the Pharisees came up or his disciples came up. Okay.
Yeah, just people. So these are just... seem like normal people. They're probably, you know, followers of Jesus, perhaps. They're probably pretty good people, you know, religious people, yeah, perhaps, yeah, even. And so they come to Jesus with this headline. And the headline is basically, Pontius Pilate kills worshipers. So what seems to have happened is people were there, these Galileans, all right? So from that northern part where Nazareth is, it seems as though they were worshiping in the temple in Jerusalem, you know, making sacrifices. And for whatever reason, Pilate kills them.
Yeah.
And their blood is mingled with the sacrifice's blood. We don't know the details. That's all we know. But that's the headline. That's the headline. And what's Jesus' response? Do you think that these Galileans were worse than other Galileans because they suffered in this way? So yeah. What seemed, you know, with Jesus' response there, John, what seems to be the assumption of the people who bring this headline to Jesus?
Well, it's kind of the same response that the disciples had when they see the man born blind. And, who sinned, him or his parents? So it had to be something that they did wrong, you know, otherwise why would such a tragedy befall them?
Yeah, yeah. Jesus, check out this headline. Didn't these Galileans have it coming to them? Didn't they deserve it? Look what Pilate did to them. And of course, we know Galileans, nothing good comes from Nazareth or Galilee up there.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, that's what he'd expect, sure.
Yeah, that's what you'd expect. Bad Galileans, maybe the worst of Galileans. Maybe they had it coming. And then here's Jesus' response in verse 3. So, John, if you can read that.
No, he says, I tell you, but unless you repent, you all likewise will perish.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. That's a big word there, perish, Matt. That's apolumai. That's to
So that means, I mean, literally, yeah, like even be destroyed, right? Yep. Apolumai, yep. Right? So this perishing. So Jesus shifts their focus, right? He changes how they should read this headline. When they read this headline, no, it's not about, boy, these people must be really bad. They must have it coming to them. No, instead, Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Okay? So keep that in mind. Now,
he's always pointing the finger, isn't he? I don't know about that, Jesus. He's always pointing the finger.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, well, here Jesus is really scolding them for where they're pointing their fingers, right? Those bad Galileans, right? Yeah. They must be worse than others. And Jesus is really telling them who should the finger be pointed at? Themselves, right?
Yeah.
So instead of worrying about them, whoever them is, whoever's in the headline, they must be worse sinners. Instead, examine yourself, repent, Jesus says, or you will all likewise perish.
You know what my mom used to say, Matt? When you point a finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah, I knew that you were going to say
you
that.
Was gonna...
Your mom was exactly right. I think that's in the footnotes of this reading, in fact, somewhere.
Is.
It's in some other variant translation. Yeah, that's okay. So the next thing Jesus does is now Jesus brings up a headline of his own.
Okay.
Now Jesus brings up the headline. So if you could read verse 4.
Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem?
Yeah. So, you know, we don't know anything about this event, but apparently it was a current event. It was recently in the headlines. Recently, you know, the headline was 18 killed in tower crash. In Siloam, these 18 people are killed, it seems tragically, by this tower falling over. Just a tragic event. And it seems to imply, Jesus seems to imply that some thought, well, they had it coming, right? They must have been worse offenders, worse people than those people in Jerusalem, than others in the city. And then what's Jesus' response? If you could read verse 5.
No. Again, I love the fact that he emphasizes it. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And there's that perish word again.
Yeah. So exactly. Jesus says the same thing twice in this text. So it's probably pretty important. Right? Yep. It's not that there were sinners, but I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So I think one of the things this text does is cause us to pause and to really seriously consider, how do we look at the headlines, right? You know, we think of our headlines today. There's a, you know, for instance, there's a country that's devastated by a natural disaster, an earthquake. And we tend to think, well, those people must have been worse sinners. They deserved it. Or, you know, a celebrity falls from grace. And all of a sudden we wonder, oh, I wonder what their secret sins are. I wonder what they did wrong to cause this, right? A mass shooting occurs. And all of a sudden there's fingers, talking about fingers, there's fingers pointing all over the place, blaming all sorts of people for the event. A heinous crime happens. And we think to ourselves, you know, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. You know, we sound a lot like the crowd of people that are talking to Jesus that day.
So Matt, you know, just to give you an example, I thought this is kind of dated, but I don't know if you remember when the floods kind of wiped out New Orleans.
Katrina, for instance,
I don't have anything against the people in New Orleans, but it does have kind of a reputation of being a party town, you know, a lot of loose behavior going on. And so I think there were a lot of people, they deserve that because of all the evil and wickedness and stuff that goes on there. But my thought was, well, how come nothing ever happens in Vegas? No earthquakes out there, no floods. I don't know. I guess what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Yeah. I'm not sure. But maybe God doesn't know. Is that what it is? But anyways, that's my point. I don't think so, Jeff. I agree with you. We do tend to jump into that. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Especially when you have something where it seems like there's reason to believe that. But
no, that's a great example. I think, you know, again, that's to put in our American context. Yeah. You know, something happens in New Orleans. Oh, they had it coming. Have you ever been to Bourbon Street? Oh, boy. No wonder there was a hurricane that passed through there. God's slapping them. back in the line. Yeah. And Jesus is saying just the opposite of that here. No. Read the headlines differently. When something tragic happens, when that hurricane occurs, when that mass shooting occurs, whatever, use this as an opportunity for self-examination, right? Think of ourselves, make an honest assessment of ourselves. You know, how are we doing? How is our walk with God? That Jesus' words should ring in our ears, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The self-examination. So does that ever happen? You know, and I would say maybe it does. So, there's some times where there's a news headline and God works through it to move people to repentance, perhaps. I think of September 11th, right? 2001, those terrorist attacks. Tragic. And according to Barna research, the last weeks then of that same month of September, a church attendance shot up by about 25%. So it seems as though, people seem to kind of be waking up a little bit, right? Maybe it was a call to repent. At least they returned to church. And I think part of the reason for that is when we read the news headlines, when we see a terrorist attack like that, God can work through them to remind us of our own human frailty and our sin. You know, that we're mortals. The wages of sin is death. We're not going to live forever. Or maybe you read those headlines and we remind ourselves that, you know, we can't make it in this world on our own, you know, that we need protection, that we need the Lord to be our rock and our fortress, especially in times of trouble. Or we read the headlines and maybe we should call to mind Jesus' words. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Not that we're all going to die in a terrorist attack. I mean, that's not what Jesus is saying. But I think what he's talking about is even a worse perishing, you know, this eternal perishing to be apart from him for eternity. Unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. Yeah. Any comments about that, John?
Yeah, well, I think the interesting thing here is the question. He says, were they worse sinners? And then again, he uses a slightly different word. Are they worse offenders So the bottom line is, yeah, every time you see a tragedy, it is because of sin. It is because we are in a sinful world, mm-hmm. and we are sinful people. And as you've already alluded, guess what? We're all going to die. And the wages of sin is death. That's the consequence. You know, I've avoided it twice with a heart attack and now with the cancer, but it'll be back. It'll come. And I think that's the point, though. When this happens, does that mean that we're worse sinners? No, it just means that we are, however, sinners. That's something we should reflect on. And therefore, we need to repent, as you said, which I think what's interesting is repent simply means to recognize that's a fact. There were sinners. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. And I'm not going to take away, because once you recognize that, man, there's some fabulous, wonderful promises that the Bible makes. I'm sorry to say you have to know you're a sinner first, though. Otherwise, the promises mean absolutely nothing to you.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Sean. I really like that observation that they're, do you think they're worse sinners, worse offenders? And but the fact of the matter is, yeah, these people in the headlines, they are sinners and offenders.
Yeah, yeah.
But guess what? So are we. So
yeah,
it's not
that's the problem. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not that we need forgiveness any less than the people in the headlines, right?
Oh, the light just bulb became on, man. I'm sorry. But I was just thinking that's the whole thing with Caiaphas, isn't it? He was a worse sinner, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He was a worse mm-hmm. sinner than me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can understand why in the end he didn't have anything. No one liked him. See, that's what we love about Caiaphas, because I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not Caiaphas.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. That's the whole point, is it? Well, maybe I'm not Caiaphas, but there's plenty of things that God could, you know, God could leave me abandoned to it, and there'd be no arguments about whether that was just or not. Yeah.
And unless we repent, guess what? We're going to perish like Caiaphas. Yeah. Hate to tell you. Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, to kind of, you know, to drive that point home that we are two sinners and offenders, you know, think, you know, I think, you know, for us, John, and many of our listeners, probably the things that we do, you know, isn't going to be run in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch headlines. it doesn't make for a whole lot of news, right? But what if our sins were run in the news, right?
Oh my.
What if that was for all the world to see, those sins that, you know, Jesus knows full well. But maybe that we do a pretty good job of hiding, you know, and you think of different headlines like, you know, Christian woman bears false testimony against family members and gossips, or a Christian man looks lustfully at women on his cell phone, you know, or what about, you know, Christian youth dishonors mother and father, or, you know, Christian pastor falls victim to pride. You know, what if those headlines were run? You know, the only way we can fix those or do something about it is, well, like Jesus says, repent. At least that's where it starts with, is with repentance. So like you said, to repent, to believe those words of Jesus, to have a change of mind, right? That's literally what the word repent means. Metanoia in the Greek, you know, means a change of mind. You know, that we want to have that change, and a change that turns us away from our sin and ultimately turns us to Christ crucified. We need that forgiveness. So, you know, the tie in here, I think, to Good Friday and Holy Week is when we read the headlines, you know, about a tower falling on 18 people, Pilate killing people and shedding their blood, or whatever the headlines are today, we don't know the why behind that. Right?
Yeah,
we don't know the why. These people are worse offenders. No, we don't know that. We don't know that. We don't know the why behind that. But there's one headline we do know the why behind, and it's the most important headline of all, and it's this: the headline, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you.
Yeah.
And why did Jesus die? Well, we know that full well, right? It wasn't because he was a worse offender. In fact, no, he was completely innocent, right? Sinless. It wasn't because he's a worse sinner. Nope. No, again, he's perfect. But he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for all of our listeners out of his great love for us. You know, again, as we've said lots of times on the rest of the basis, greater love has no one that he lays down his life for his friends. That's why Jesus did it. We're the why. You are the why that Jesus laid down his life. We're the reason he died. Because Jesus is right. You know, and unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But Jesus was also right when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. There's that very same word. I believe, not perish, but have eternal life. So we know the why behind Jesus' death. We know the why behind that headline. It's because of his great love for us. It's so that we would not perish, right? That we would not perish. And thanks be to God for that. Yeah.
You know, the great irony about all of that, Matt, is the people who saw Jesus dying on the cross probably had the exact same thoughts as the people who came up to Jesus in the text you read.
Worse offender, worse sinner, this Jesus guy.
Yeah, yeah, look at that. I guess he was evil. I guess he was wicked because there he is dying. I suppose if you're the priests and the scribes, you're thinking, well, that proves it right there. In fact, isn't that what they say? You know, come down from the cross. Let God save you. Well, yeah, you'd saved others. You can't save yourself. And yet the irony is that's exactly why he was up there, because he was the sinner for all of us who are sinners. Yeah. So, and you know what? Here's what's really crazy. Because I would think if anybody would just, I'd scratch off my list now. I'm not saving you. You might as well go to hell. It'd be people like that that would be mocking me. And I'm dying for you. And you're telling me I'm the one. I'm the fault. I'm the problem. And yet, no, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And they really didn't. They really had no idea. And yet, as Caiaphas, we'll get Caiaphas in here one more time. It is better for one man to die for the people. Yeah, exactly.
So instead of the crowds at the foot of the cross saying, oh, Jesus must be the worst sinner, the worst offender, what should their reaction have been? Repentance, right?
Yeah.
Unless you repent, you will likewise perish, folks. And instead of that, you know, looking upon Jesus with repentant eyes and hearts, instead, you know, like you said, so many mocking from the foot of the cross and the worst offender, the worst sinner.
And yet, Matt, some of them did go away beating their breasts.
Some did, yeah.
So some saw it. I don't know if they truly knew. Well, they obviously didn't know completely what was going on, but it did strike some of them. Some of them were contemplating.
We'll talk about that more next week. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as you know, because of Jesus' death, because of that, you know, the benefits of his death still are ours today. And so our headlines are changed, right? Yeah. Christian woman receives forgiveness as she prays, forgive me my trespasses, right? As I forgive those who trespass against me. Christian man forgiven. His heart is cleansed of lust and sin, knowing that, he's a child of God, a baptized child of God for whom Jesus died. Christian youth, joyful, as his parents forgive him and his Father in heaven forgives him. And even a Christian pastor is forgiven, as in humility they receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins, even the forgiveness of the sin of pride. So Jesus changes our headlines because of that one main headline that we all need. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. And so, during this Holy Week, I just pray that part of our Holy Week is, to take Jesus' words to heart, that we would realize as we gaze upon Jesus on the cross this Good Friday even, that, unless we repent, we will too likewise perish. But guess what? Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you.
And I love that passage you brought up, Matt, that God so loved the world that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. So we maybe should perish, but that's the great promise in Jesus Christ. We won't. Thank you for joining us. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.